This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
It is draft day. Thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We've also got Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com, as we talk the draft. We got a lot of analysis of what could happen tonight, but in the end, all of the analysis and all the talking heads that have been breaking down where teams may be going, just sit back and enjoy tonight because it could be really interesting and it could be straightforward and predictable. You just do not know. But I do know this. A lot of people will tune in. This draft, the NFL draft, has become a must-see event for football fans and sports fans. It has become a very larger-than-life spectacle. What is basically a business transaction has turned into a level of award show that has been, you know, sort of increasing in sort of pageantry. Now, this year, a little tampered down, of course, because we're still overcoming COVID. But the magnitude of the moment is not lost on what you'll see tonight. Of all the teams that could be moving up in the draft and making moves to make trades, I'm interested in the New England Patriots. Because the New England Patriots this offseason have spent a ton of money. They have spent a ton of money on getting offensive weapons. I mean, they got Jonnu Smith from Tennessee, Hunter Henry from the Chargers. They got Nelson Aguilar. They have gotten good defensive help. They have picked up some offensive linemen. They have paid a lot of money for free agency. But what has been the issue last season was they can't find a quarterback. Cam Newton wasn't up to the same level that they thought. And look, you're not replacing Tom Brady because it's impossible to replace Tom Brady, but you do need effectiveness at that position. So do the Patriots go after Jimmy Garoppolo, who may be out in San Francisco, or do they go and pick their young guy? Do they do both? I mean, they've already signed Cam Newton, so they don't necessarily need to fill the entire stable of quarterbacks. They've got Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham. So it's either going to be go after Jimmy Garoppolo, or they're going to have to take a kid in the draft and add them to their contingency of quarterbacks that they've got right now. Interesting to see where they go. But coming up next, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. 1961 on this date, Wide World of Sports debuted on ABC. And then we'll also get into where the numbers could be on another side of the NFL draft. That's all coming up this hour on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. Ron will have a good, but here's another good. Saturday, May 1st, Andy the Destroyer Ruiz Jr. and Chris the Nightmare Areola, arguably the two best Mexican heavyweight boxers in history, squaring off at a Fox Sports pay-per-view main event. This is an all-Mexican boxing extravaganza with three pay-per-view undercard matchups featuring exciting all-action toss-up fights. The pay-per-view begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It is priced at $49.99. Buy the pay-per-view at foxsports.com/PPV and watch it on any screen. That's Saturday, May 1st, this coming Saturday, at foxsports.com/PPV. It's Andy the Destroyer Ruiz Jr. against Chris the Nightmare Areola, and you watch it on any screen. All right, let's get the good of the day, Ron Culver.
You know, every once in a while you have a baseball game where there's a blowout.
Yes.
And it's a midweek game.
That's
nothing's
right.
Really on the line, especially this early in the season. So you get a little tasty treat. And we got such a tasty treat yesterday with the Braves and the Cubs.
That's right. Complete annihilation of the Cubs by the Braves.
Yeah. Game was 10-0. So why is the coach of the manager of the Cubs escaped me right now? It doesn't matter.
It was Ross.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah. Dave Ross. Dave Ross decided to have a little bit of fun, threw Anthony Rizzo out onto the mound.
Yes, I saw this. This was pretty nice.
Now, Anthony Rizzo, you may not know, sports the best ERA by a major league pitcher ever.
Ever in the history of the game.
In the history of the game. So he put that on the line yesterday. I can't remember who he grounded out. Then he ended up walking Ronald Acuna Jr. And then Freddie Freeman comes up to the plate. Now, one thing you need to know about these two is that they're really good friends. as they would be, you know, National League first basemen. They kind of have a friendship. And Rizzo ended up striking out Freddie Freeman.
Brilliant.
It was, I mean, it's fun. The best part about it is here's Freddie Freeman after the game talking about such strikeout.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Oh, guys, that's going to be over me forever. I had such a good night going, too, and I couldn't stop laughing as I'm going up to the plate. It's a recipe for disaster when you face position players, especially one of your friends, too. So, that's one strike I'm okay with, I guess.
Now he's lying there.
No, he's lying. Well, he had a good night. He had a home run and a double. Like, he drove in three.
I think everyone had a home run last night.
They had five last night. They had
they were just teeing off
in the first inning. They had Marcell Ozuna and Austin Riley had home runs in the first inning of the game. So Atlanta winning 10-0. But yeah, but I have a quick question. Positional players, is it because you're not getting a read on them, you're not really sure what you're getting, so it's difficult for the batter to sort of get a groove with a pitcher?
Maybe. I have no idea why it would be so hard.
Difficult? Because I would, you know, my natural, all things being equal mindset would be, if a positional player is up there throwing the baseball and he's not a normal pitcher, then you could just tee off on him, right? I mean, he's just probably not throwing anything with any real movement, nothing, anything real spicy.
Right. And he wasn't. Right? I mean, Anthony Rizzo threw like a 70. His fastball was about 70, mid-70s.
That probably throws you off because you're not preparing for that. You can't time it out.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, that's kind of, that's
just
fun.
It's kind of fun when that is fun. You know, when we have stuff like that happen, you know, because they're far and few between.
That's right. All right, what's the dumb, the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that billions, that's with the B, billions of genetically modified mosquitoes will be released in Florida over the next 2 years, starting this week.
What is the story about? What is this story
basically
about?
Basically, what this is.
Genetically modified mosquitoes are what?
The genetically modified mosquitoes, they're all male mosquitoes, created in a laboratory in England. And the whole process is that this strand of mosquito, this Franken mosquito, when it mates with another mosquito, it prevents young females from being born.
Oh, so are they trying to eliminate mosquitoes from the population eventually?
Eventually, yes.
I don't like that.
No.
Because I'm a big advocate of the food chain.
We all hate mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
No, nobody likes a mosquito.
No, right. But there is, like, I remember when Google was trying to, like, we're going to eliminate mosquitoes because they carry malaria and disease. There's no question. But there's a food chain, right? Like, certain creatures eat the mosquitoes, and it's just a circle of life. Like, it could be pretty problematic if you get rid of mosquitoes, right?
I would think so.
I'm not a nature scientist, so maybe there's a nature scientist out there that's like, nah, you're wrong. Mosquitoes, wouldn't bother anybody. I don't know. Listen, I
think if you eliminate one element of the food chain, there's a trickle-down effect.
When I was living in New Hampshire, there was a story in the paper about this golf course up north. That in the northern part of New Hampshire, it's very woodsy, and mosquitoes are awful. I mean, they are just awful. And they tried doing pesticides, they tried doing everything. But what they came up with, and this was kind of the big story, kind of one of those cool little end-of-the-newscast stories, was they built bat houses, and they had bats, and bats would go out at dusk and eat everything in sight. They would eat a ton of their weight in mosquitoes every night, and it started to really affect the fact that there weren't mosquitoes bothering the golfers anymore. So I always come to the mosquito question with that bit of knowledge that bats eat this stuff like we do at a buffet in Vegas, right? They go crazy for mosquitoes. So if we eliminate the mosquito population, will the bats go, well, we'll just find another thing to eat? Or will the bats go, I'm starving. There's no more delicious mosquitoes to woof down on. I don't know.
I also always go back to Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
You know.
Life finds a way.
Right. All the dinosaurs were genetically modified.
That's right.
Because they just said, you know, during the growing stage, they just eliminate that one protein that makes them females.
That's right. Well, we just denied them that.
Yeah.
I love the way that scientist said that.
And so they're pretty much doing the same thing here. Basically, female mosquitoes need an extra protein to be female mosquitoes. And so there'll be a lot of genetically modified male and genetically modified female mosquitoes being born.
I never understood why the Jurassic Park scientists just didn't make all the dinosaurs male.
Yeah.
Like the female's like, well, something could still, but if you don't make a male, then you eliminate that problem completely. Life really have a hard time finding a way.
Yep.
But, yeah. But, oh, well, all right. We'll see about this mosquito issue.
I know. I mean, hey, you know what? I hope it's maybe it's an effort to not eliminate them altogether, maybe just eliminate the amount of them.
Right.
But I don't know how you do one without the other.
We when I was a kid, we had a bug zapper outside of our house that would go off constantly.
Yes.
Just. Zap, 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 all night long.
I mean, nobody likes mosquitoes, but at the same time, yeah, we do have to kind of think of the larger picture here. It's like, all right, if you get rid of the mosquito, does it eliminate this fish?
Yeah, right.
You know, for like, you know, I learned firsthand, you know, used to wonder why in California there were no colorful birds. There aren't any colorful birds.
You won't get Orioles or Cardinals.
Yeah, you won't get red Cardinals. Every once in a while, maybe you see a Robin. Like, you know, I've been living in Texas and I'm still blown away when I see a red Cardinal or a Blue Jay.
Oh,
I'm like, wow, look at the colors.
Wow.
And that's pretty much because in California, I mean, you know, for years and years and years, they used pesticides, which killed all the bugs, which eliminated those birds who fed on those bugs, and those birds went elsewhere.
Oh, good point. Good point. You know, one time I was in my back porch and I saw an Oriole land on my fence and I went, wow, that's really far away from Baltimore. And then I went, wait a minute, stop. An Oriole could be anywhere.
They could be.
A little
silliness, you know,
for me.
Every time I see a Cardinal, I think, wow, shouldn't they be around St. Louis?
Right. That's what I do.
Even though those Cardinals came from Chicago?
They're everywhere. All right. Exactly. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. This is a good dumb. We have to thank some people out there.
Okay.
Because May 4th, all you got to do is download the McDonald's app, pull up the little coupon for May 4th, and you get a free McFlurry.
Do you really?
Yes.
Why?
As long as the ice cream machine is working, by the way.
Is it Star Wars-y themed?
No. That's a good answer, though.
All right.
No, the reason why is because I guess apparently, and this is where it falls into the dumb category, there have been countless amounts of people who mistook the spoon for a straw.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you've ordered a McFlurry.
Yeah.
They have
it's a hollow out spoon, but I've always used it as a spoon.
Right. And a lot of people thought since it was hollowed out that was just an oversized square straw.
So they never pulled it out and said, oh, look at that. It's a spoon.
It's
I'll
a
just
spoon.
Eat it with this.
God, didn't see that coming. So, but thankful to them. Free McFlurries for all May 4th.
Okay. Can I make a comment here? All right. I see this all the time because my town has a lot of chain restaurants, okay? A lot of chain restaurants that are in the corporate pyramid, right? A lot of mom and pops don't do this, but a lot of corporate restaurants do this, and I'm urging you to stop. If you complain about anything, the manager is likely to go, comped. Like if you go, I don't like this burger, like the lettuce is a little wilted, you don't have to pay for it. Like, I don't know. These fries are just a little salty. We're just going to take that off your bill. Stop doing it because it leads people to go into your place going, all you got to do is find something wrong. And they just take it off because the corporation wants to make you happy and they don't want bad Yelp reviews or they don't want you hitting them up on Twitter. So they'll comp the entire bill sometimes. Like, oh, I'm sorry, your steak was a little overdone. We'll cook you a new one and then you'll get that filet for free. I see it all the time in these chain restaurants that we go to in our town. This is exactly that. McDonald's should have said, I'm horrifically sorry you thought that was a straw, but if you just pull that stupid thing out of the McFlurry, you would have seen it was a spoon.
Well,
we are not giving away free McFlurries to you idiots who thought it was a straw. If I was McDonald's, I would have said, that's a you problem. That's your issue. I'm sorry. It's a spoon.
Well, the other part of it,
it's
too,
so
that
so thick you can't even slurp it from that thing.
Exactly, that's where I was going with is why when you order a McFlurry, you're basically getting like a mixed sundae.
Right.
Why would you think you could suck it into a straw, anyways?
Stop giving away steak dinners because the broccoli was cold.
Yeah.
Like, please stop doing that.
May 4th, You can get a, no purchase necessary. You can get a free caramel brownie McFlurry.
Well, also on the flip side, this is pretty good marketing for McFlurries, right?
Yes.
If I'm going to go to McDonald's to get a McFlurry, I might as well get lunch too.
Right.
So that's the flip side of the only thing. Yeah, the only people complain. You know,
the only thing you need to do is just download the app, and you'll get the coupon right from there.
There you go.
And then also from May 3rd to May 9th, you can get a free McFlurry based on a purchase of like $15 or more or something.
All right, not bad. So some of you out there has you guys have helped humanity.
Yes,
by allowing us to get free.
But that's only if that stupid ice cream machine is working.
That's right.
At McDonald's, because. You know, there's an app for that, too, by the way.
There is an app for people who, like, if there's a working McDonald's ice cream machine, they put it on the app. It's
certain we talked about it within this segment that it was been so bad that McDonald's had to put out an app. Brilliant. Or somebody put out an app saying, hey, here's where the ice cream machines are working or broken down or something like that.
Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant.
And what did we find out? That most of the time they're not even broken down. It's just that they were too lazy to clean it.
Exactly. All right. Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com is going to join us. We'll talk draft. We'll talk where the Niners may go with that 3 pick and what does it mean for Jimmy Garoppolo. Are the Patriots interested in a quarterback? Just his thoughts on round one, which will happen tonight. But coming up next, what could the numbers be for the ratings? And will it outdo another major event? That's coming up next on Wake Up Call.
It's pony time. Get up!
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, keeping your car clean is simple, inexpensive. Maintenance and will keep your car looking like new. And O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted surfaces, as well as interior car care products like leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and the professional parts people will make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Stop by your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So tonight's draft, it's not similar to last year in which we were just dying for sports. We were so everything was shut down and the draft was coming back. We have a round one that's very interesting and has got a lot of really good storylines. What will the TV numbers be? And my big question is, will this year's draft outdo the Academy Awards, which had a whopping 10 million people watching on Sunday? That's the lowest by a mile for the Academy Awards.
I'm leaning towards yes.
I think so too. 15 million people watched the draft last year.
Yeah.
Now I think last year that's probably a tick more than the normal because of the circumstances. But the draft draws its audience anyway. But 10 million should be easily surpassed tonight.
I have to think it is. I don't know. I mean, I know we live in such a small bubble that you know we're overly consumed with it. But I have a feeling, like, yes, it's going to be on in major houses across America.
Yeah. So, the Academy Award numbers were, that's got to worry people like, you know, the ABC.
It has to.
Because there are only a few events, live events on the calendar that you kind of point to say, look, this is kind of DVR proof, like because you really, when you're in the television business these days, you're looking for as many DVR proof. Like nobody tapes the Academy Awards. It's hard to be totally oblivious to the thing, and then like I'm gonna watch it Tuesday. Whereas you watch, if you have a TV show, like I don't even watch any of the TV shows I like in its scheduled time.
Never.
I tape everything and I watch it on demand and I watch it at my convenience, and sometimes I binge watch three or four. But sports and if you're into award shows like the Grammys and the Tonys and the Oscars, those are you know live events. So was it ABC that I think the ABC?
Yeah, I think ABC had. Yeah.
If you're ABC and you get 10 million for the Academy Awards, one of your premier live events on your television calendar, that's got to be. You've got to go back to the drawing board trying to figure out what's happening.
Here, no. Is it more concerning for the ABC or is it more concerning for the Academy? See, I felt it was more concerning for the Academy.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it depends. It depends on if they do their business model like sports does.
Yeah.
Right? One of the things that I've said was...
Like, would they even want it back?
Like, one of the things I've said was, if you're the NFL, right, and ratings are down, it only matters if it affects the rights fees that you can get from the networks. And because it doesn't, and rights fees continue to go up, the NFL shouldn't be concerned at all. Now, if you're the NBA and ratings are plummeting, and that does affect the money that you're getting from networks, where networks come in and go, look, I know you wanted X for all of it, but we're not paying that anymore. We're not making a bang for the buck. Football tends to be immune from that because every network wants football very, very badly. They saw what happened to NBC when NBC didn't have football, and they're never going back to that again.
Yeah. That's so why every network, the four major networks, everyone has a slice of it.
Right. If you're the Academy and you're selling your broadcast rights to ABC, and ABC comes back and goes, yeah, you were expecting this, but we ain't giving you that anymore. Like, you guys are not pulling in the kind of number. Whatever you're doing, you ain't pulling in the kind of numbers we thought we were going to get from this from advertisers, because we have to give back money to our advertisers if we don't reach a certain plateau, and you ain't reaching that plateau. And now this has become tougher for us to sell down the line. And so if you're the Academy, then you would worry about it. But if ABC's like, yeah, it's $10 million, but we still will pay whatever you want because we still want it on our calendar, then you're not as concerned. But I think the draft will outdo the Academy Awards. And listen, a couple of years ago, I would not have said that at all. In fact, I am on the record as saying 10, 11 years ago that I thought the draft on Thursday night wouldn't work, that it was mostly a weekend thing, that it was a weekend event. And boy, was I wrong, because it not only worked, it worked exponentially. But I never would have said that, because the draft is, for all intents and purposes, it is a real aficionado thing, right? Think about your buddy that will watch football just because it's on or because the local team is pretty good. Is he watching the draft tonight? Probably not. Your friend that is all in on fantasy football, he's got the package, he's watching Sunday, he's betting a little money on Monday. Is he watching the draft? Absolutely. It's mostly for football aficionados. And that pool is smaller than the pool that goes to watch, you know, a Monday night football game or a Tuesday or a Sunday night football game of real significance. So, but I looked and I said, look, I looked, the Academy Awards years ago was something like, well, we all watched movies. We were all going to the movie theater, and Best Picture seemed like a big deal, and who would win these awards seemed to appeal to a lot of people. It's one of the reasons a billion people around the world used to watch it, because there was some influence there. It was a level of importance. It was Hollywood doing what Hollywood does best. There was a glamour to it that people still admired. But over the years, that the Academy Awards has been a mess. It's been bad speeches, political. It's people aren't really interested in hearing these millionaires talk down to them. It's changed sort of the perception of Hollywood. And the draft hasn't done any of those things. The draft is still players hugging the commissioner if they can, and taking a jersey, hoisting it up in the air, and analysts saying how awesome this is going to be for Team X, or what a reach it would be for Team X. That's really all it is. It's never anything more than that. Where the Academy Awards used to be, hey, thank you to my wife and my mom and my dad, and I love this, and my director and the people I worked with, and thank you so much, bye. It's now people who are desperately still trying to be liked by their crowd, making political speeches. And this is the thing about actors, right? Most actors, not all, but most actors have always lived in a world where mentally they wanted to be accepted by people around them. They wanted to be liked, right? They are performing art that they want to be received as, you know, we appreciate you, we like you, right?
Very needy.
Right, very needy. So what happens is during tough political climates, when there's a president that's sort of controversial, you can get the audience and get the applause and get the cheers from that audience by saying, and the president stinks! And everybody in the room applauds because that's your group, and they love you. They give you the love you crave, right? Where people are just turned off by that, but that's not what the draft's about. The draft doesn't allow for that level of element. It's just kids being like, I'm going to be a millionaire tomorrow. This is so great. I'm so excited. My life has changed. All my hard work has paid off.
Playing a game that I played since I was a kid.
Exactly. Every step along the way is to this point, this moment, where now my professional career is getting started. I'm now going to get paid money to do this professionally, and it's a lifelong dream, and I have so many people, you know, that are in my corner. That is one of the reasons people sort of gravitate towards us.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1961 on a throwback Thursday on this date, ABC Wide World of Sports made its television debut, lasted until 1998. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com on the draft tonight. How are you, my friend?
Great. How are you?
Good. All right, Josh, it looks like San Francisco at 3 kind of is where the fun should begin. There's a lot of buzz about Jimmy Garoppolo, where he's heading. Where San Francisco is leaning, they're going to go quarterback. Which one and where? What does that mean for Garoppolo?
Well, I think the which one is they've done a very good job of keeping that quiet. I mean, we've heard a lot about Mac Jones. We've also heard a lot of people say it'd be crazy to take Mac Jones at 3 and you know, that Justin Fields, it doesn't make sense that Justin Fields seems to be dropping the way he has. So I think that it's one of I thought when they moved up first, it was for Fields. Mm-hmm. Chris Sims, who works with us, has been beating the Mac Jones drum, and he was Kyle Shanahan's college roommate. So, you know, I give that some credence. I think it's one of those two guys. I don't think it's Trey Lance, because I do think they're looking for a guy who could start right away, and I think Lance would be a bit more suited to, you know, to waiting a bit. Having said that, I think it could be any of those three guys. And I think that Garoppolo it's going to come down to finding a team that wants him and that Garoppolo is comfortable enough with to cut his salary, because currently stands, there's no way that a team is going to take him on making what he's making for the 2021 season.
And let's say that does happen. How realistic are the Patriots as an option for Garoppolo?
I mean, it seems to make sense. It seems to make sense. But again, that's going to have to do with how much he cuts it down, because they've already got Cam Newton under contract. And I don't know that, quite honestly, I don't know that the Patriots would see Garoppolo as a clear upgrade there. Now, you could have them compete, and Garoppolo's money, assuming it doesn't get guaranteed as part of a restructure, you know, you could then move on from Garoppolo before the start of the season if he can't beat out Cam Newton. But I some part of me also feels that the 49ers may be best suited to wait and hope for a situation like the Teddy Bridgewater one, where in Minnesota years ago, where they had to trade for Sam Bradford, and you wind up getting a lot more in return than you would get selling Garoppolo at this sort of fire sale price right now.
Let's go to the Atlanta Falcons at 4. And the buzz earlier this week about the possibility of trading Julio Jones, it seems to make sense numbers-wise for them to do that, but is it likely that they will do that?
Let's see what they do in number 4. If they take Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase, I think it becomes very likely, because I think you keep weapons there for Matt Ryan. And look, there are a ton of good receivers in this draft. You could take Kyle Pitts at 4 and take a receiver later. And yeah, it's not Julio Jones, but it's enough to work with when you already have Calvin Ridley on hand and a good offensive mind in Arthur Smith as your head coach. The thing with Julio is, again, it's going to take some creativity. Either the Falcons are going to have to pick up some salary, or Julio's got a guaranteed $15 million. He's going to have to maybe redo a deal and kick some of that money into the future, which would take, you know, his accept on where he's going to go in a trade in order for it to make sense for both sides. And again, the cap hit of this isn't one that's going to happen this weekend, at least become official, because it's going to have to wait till after June 1st for cap reasons for the Falcons. Otherwise, they're taking on a ton of money. And, you know, and obviously losing Julio Jones.
You brought up Justin Fields, and you're right. There's been so much conversation of his stock dropping. What do you make of that? There's always a smokescreen. There's always something that we kind of buzz about that's not realistic. But is this realistic that his stock has been plummeting? And if so, is there reasons behind it?
You know, I think there seems to be a quarterback every year that this happens to. It's Justin Herbert a little bit last year, and Tua also to an extent, where you just have so much time to come up with things that aren't what you watched on the tape, and are so deep into thinking about these things. And again, and as you said, some people are putting things out there intentionally in order to perhaps cool markets in other places. So putting that all together, I think about the Fields that I saw in the national semifinal against Clemson, the toughness he showed in that game, the touch he showed with the throws, the athleticism, and that kind of upside, I think would trump the other issues, especially as we've seen from Herbert and Josh Allen and other guys who have been so picked apart and get to the NFL and get coached well, and look how good they become. I think those things are always paramount to me, is that landing spot and how they're going to be coached. I think whoever goes to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan there and his history of working with quarterbacks, I would feel very confident that guy's going to be successful. I'd feel a little bit shakier about, the Jets, the Jaguars, the Broncos, because they don't have that track record.
In terms of the best of the rest from the quarterback situation, the three guys that are not going to go 1 and 2, Are all three of these guys worthy of sort of a blockbuster package to move up in the draft to get if you are in need of a quarterback?
You know, that's the eye of the beholder question. Right. You know, it takes one team to feel that way. It takes one team to feel the way that, you know, the Bears did about Mitchell Trubisky in 2017, or the way the Jets felt about Sam Darnold in 2018. And, you know, obviously those bets didn't pay off for either of those teams. I think this is a year where you're, and I think this is a trend that we're going to continue to see, that the value of the quarterback position and the need to feel like you have it filled for a long term leads to quarterbacks getting overdrafted. I think Trevor Lawrence probably is the number one player in this draft. I don't think the next two players are a quarterback. I think the Kyle Pitts and Penei Sewell and Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Watt, like, there are a lot of really good football players in this draft. Patrick Surtain, who are going to go a little later than they should because quarterbacks are such a premium position. And I wouldn't be moving heaven and earth to get Trey Lance or Mac Jones, but somebody might see them at 8 if they're there at 8 and say, we have to go get this guy because it's worthwhile for us.
What did you make of the trade for Teddy Bridgewater by the Broncos? And is a quarterback still in play if one is available at 9?
It's an odd trade to me on both sides, because I don't think that for the Broncos, I don't think this settles things. I don't think that if you're there at 8 and Justin Fields is on the board, I don't know how you pass on him because you have Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, quite honestly. I don't think that that's enough for me to say you're out of the quarterback game. And from all appearances, they aren't. And on the Panthers side, it's the same thing. I don't know how you go into the season with Sam Darnold and just give him the job with no serious competition based on what you saw from him with the Jets. I think that, not that Teddy Bridgewater would be the ideal choice, because I think that's a tough sell, but for both those teams at 8 and 9, I think they're both very much in the conversation for quarterbacks still, which makes it an interesting trade on a lot of levels, because I think we're seeing now that teams are more willing to make moves multiple times if they have to. You know, Teddy Bridgewater is a perfect example of that. Look how much he's moved around the last few years. And maybe he's the 33rd best quarterback in the league or something like that, but he's a guy who's always going to be in the mix for a starting job, but never makes you feel like we're settled at this position.
With the Cincinnati Bengals at pick 5, could they go weapon and Ja'Marr Chase, reuniting with Joe Burrow or Waddle or Devontae Smith, or will they likely go with Sewell on the offensive line? Because you got to protect Burrow somehow.
Yeah. I think the signing Riley Reiff, it was a move that opened up the door to them. I think taking Pitts or Chase, I think they'd ideally like to take Chase and feel like they can address the offensive line, that they address the offensive line a bit in free agency and can then maybe top of the second round and third round and add the players there and get that dynamic receiver to go. You know, you got T. Higgins last year. You have Tyler Boyd there. It would be, I think they would probably look in that direction, particularly if Pitts is still there, and say Chase is a more dynamic player with, I think, a greater upside given the construction of their offensive line than Sewell at this point. That would be my guess, but I think they're in good position to help Joe Burrow in either direction, so it's a nice spot for them.
This next one might be more talking point fodder than anything else, but Kevin Colbert of the Steelers did bring it up that guys who opted out, if all things being equal, he would rather have a player that played in 2020. Do you think a lot of GMs feel that way? What's the buzz about the opt-out players?
I think there are a lot of people who feel the way Kevin Colbert does, and I think there are a lot of people who feel the way the Saints GM yesterday said
sure.
He doesn't think it's a big variable because he doesn't think that with all the data points that you have to put together in an evaluation of a player, he said, I don't think it's, you know, you're going to have two players dead even, and that's going to be the deciding factor. I think it's going to hurt some guys for sure. There are guys who could have put more on tape, but, you know, you talk about Chase, Sewell, Micah Parsons, Caleb Farley, these guys are all going to still be first-round picks. Will they go a pick or two later, or did they lose a chance to, you know, make themselves the apple of the eye of fans and who would push for teams to take guys earlier? Maybe. But I think that, you know, if you see someone, you know, that everybody expected to go in the top 15 around at 25, then I think there's a sign that teams are holding it against guys. But I think when push comes to shove, it's going to be a minimal impact on where, you know, name talents wind up going.
Josh, always love having you on. Thank you so much. I know it's a busy time for you guys, and I appreciate your time helping us look at the draft for tonight.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com on the NFL draft. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, let's be honest here, right, about these opt-out players. If the media is going to create talking points about one of the stupidest arguments I've ever heard a player going into the draft had to deal with than Trevor Lawrence's comments in Sports Illustrated, they would melt down over players who opted out for 2020. I mean, we always do this in the draft. This is one of the things that we do in terms of creating stories and issues. We always kind of take things and what can we do with this? What can we do with this issue? He's right. If you're Jamar Chase, and you're on the board, if you're a team, you're not going to not take Jamar Chase because he opted out. You're going to take him if he is the wide receiver that you want. Now, does this affect players at round 4, 5, or 6? Maybe. Because, yeah, if you're talking about players that, yeah, maybe we're just like, we don't necessarily need that player, but he seems to look good on film, had a good senior year, and this player didn't have any film. Maybe that comes to some sort of degree. But talking about guys tonight and the impact of the draft status because they didn't play, you're talking about significant talent that you'd be passing up on a principal, right? Like, you really believe Penny Sewell or Jamar Chase or whatever is going to fail, and you don't need that level of failure on your team. I think it's a little overblown. Again, it could be. But it could be but something down the road in later drafts, but I just don't think you're going to see it tonight. Tub of Towels will handle any mess that you need because it breaks the bonds. It holds dirt and grease to the surface. It cleans just about anything. There are extra large heavy duty wipes, over 30,000 5-star reviews in the tub that has got the vapor lock lid that snaps shut, creates a tight seal, keeping those cleaning wipes moist. You can use it on anything, auto interior, exterior, leather, vinyl, metal. Grills outdoors, great for that. I've certainly used it on my grill outside. You can use it indoors. I've cleaned the counters and the stove so brilliantly it shined. Outdoor furniture, paint rollers, lawn garden equipment, you name it. Grease, oil, tar, paint, stains, brake dust, engine grime, permanent marker, ink, glues, you name it. Tub of Towels will tackle it because, like I said, it breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease to a surface. It cleans anything. Available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, Napa, Pet Boys, and the wipes are gentle on the hands because they've got aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin built into the wipes. Tub of Towels. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the hour as we continue. Sports Map Radio.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage, and the mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. All right, Mr. Culver has a point about the rating. Earlier in this hour, I said, I think the draft are going to beat the Academy Awards for ratings, which, you know, not that long ago, I would not have ever said that. I would have absolutely been like, look,
you'd have been laughed out of the room.
50 million people. The draft does well, but it doesn't do Academy Awards well. But this could be different tonight. But you think it might not because...
Well, I said if it doesn't...
If it doesn't...
If it doesn't, I think it will. I think it will outdraw the Oscars. But if it doesn't, it's because the fourth largest market in the U.S. was bitter.
Yeah, okay. Explain, because well, the this fourth is a very
largest,
good point.
The fourth largest media market is Houston, and Houston does not have a pick until the third round.
Right. They're not even interested in what their team is doing tonight or the first round, second round tomorrow.
Yeah, the first half of tomorrow, they're still on vacation mode, and then they finally, they're going to be waltzing in the office late second round going, all right, who's left?
Who's left? Thanks.
We finally get to choose.
That's right. So if you are a Texans fan, you could watch tonight and just live in pain of like all these teams are getting better,
or have no care in the world.
That's right. Or no care in the world. Just be like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, we weren't going to get that guy anyway. So
wake me up when the season starts, I'll be good to go. Interesting.
And who do they have for their picks? I don't even know.
I'm
surprised you didn't get it. You didn't get a second rounder for DeAndre Hopkins. No, I don't remember what the pick was, what the trade was for.
How did they get rid of so many picks with all their trades and how it didn't work out? You know, just crazy.
Yeah, I know one was for Laremy Tunsil.
That's right, Laremy Tunsil.
That one wasn't too bad.
Not bad. Laremy Tunsil worked out.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you and I, real quick, you and I have been talking about this kid since the day he won the national title. Trevor Lawrence going to achieve his dream of being the number one overall pick tonight. Good for him. Good for everybody that's going to be picked tonight in round number one.
Built in a laboratory.
Built in a laboratory is right. We're going to break it all down tomorrow morning. Jake Asman Show is coming up next as we continue along all day first round draft coverage and analysis coming up on Sports Map Radio.